Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Joining us this morning, Professor Adrian Puren, are we heading towards herd immunity?
Howard, I think we're probably not going to be reaching that during this particular wave. I think, you know, it's about 3.5 million, or just under that number, that have actually been vaccinated. And again, I'm not sure, because that data is not available, of those individuals that should have received the second vaccination, you know, the Pfizer vaccine. We don't know what proportion of those individuals have been vaccinated, because that's really critical, especially in the context of the variant. The Pfizer has been shown to be effective, certainly at the one dose, but not to the same extent as if you had the second dose. So that's really going to be critical. But nevertheless, my sense is that during this particular wave, with 3.5 million, we're not really going to reach herd immunity, but we'll certainly will receive some level of protection, and we'll see what some of the modeling that may arise from these, because as we know, we're continuously trying to monitor and to model what's actually happening with regard to immunity and the trajectory, whether or not it is contributing. As I said in, I think, one of your earlier programs, that I hope that at least the healthcare workers, in that particular group, I think we should be able to get more information around whether or not there's a certain degree of protection. So the way in which one actually also assesses the effectiveness of vaccines, the so-called vaccine effectiveness studies, and these can be complex in design, because you don't want to end up with what we call confounding and therefore not being able to explain your results. So those types of studies will really then also be critical to really show whether or not the vaccines have actually been effective. So I think that's the more key part at the moment, is really looking at the effectiveness of vaccines.
What about people that have suffered from COVID? I mean, that must add a tremendous number to this figure. And to some extent, we don't really have those figures. We know what we know. We don't know what we don't know.
Absolutely. So there are some ongoing studies. As you know, the HSRC are leading, and the NICD is part of that, is leading a so-called national study to determine what the level of, I suppose, prevalence is at a national level. And I think but as you can see in the different provinces, we're looking at different epidemic curves. So perhaps there may well be variations around the so-called immunity in different settings within South Africa. I think, as you know, Gauteng was shown to behave differently and has actually behaved differently compared to the other provinces thus far. And one of the reasons for that was, in fact, partly because not only the numbers that are in Gauteng, but also possibly that the extent of immunity may have varied compared to other provinces.
Is there a way to extrapolate for every person that's tested and found positive? Is there a number that we can say, well, two people aren't tested but could be positive, or five, or 1.3? Is there a way to work that out?
Yes, so we know some of the transmission dynamics, in other words, with the force of infection. We also have what is called the R value. So there are different parameters that can give us a sense of how many people have likely reached or have been infected despite not being tested. And that can be through the so-called seroprevalence studies, but also through knowing what the transmission dynamics are to give you a sense of how many people are likely to have been infected and therefore have some degree of immunity. Very often, however, we should not always conflate, you know, if you measure so-called seroprevalence, doesn't necessarily mean immunity. That the two are probably associated, but not necessarily always the case.
It's such an interesting thing, because there are two ways in which, from what I understand, we could reach a herd immunity. Either people either get sick, or we get the vaccines, or third way is the combination of both, which is probably where we're at. Does having had COVID, given the fact that there are all of these emerging variants, does that provide a measure of herd immunity?
I think that that could be problematic because one of the problems, of course, and that I'm hoping the reports will come through fairly shortly, is to really demonstrate whether or not people who have had previous infections actually were reinfected, and what proportion of those individuals, because that all, again, will give us a sense of whether or not there was actually protection. My sense is from other studies, certainly from the UK, for example, the levels of reinfection are fairly low. And therefore my sense is it's not a major contributor, to the, what we're currently are seeing. And therefore I think that there's probably cross protection across the different variants. And I think that I'm hoping that with regard to the Delta variant, that that will also stand as well, that in fact, although we have a new variant, there is some level of protection in the broader community, rather than seeing the high rates of infection being associated, I think, with higher degrees of transmissibility, rather than the fact that there's so-called, and people refer to this as so-called waning immunity, or because of immune evasion. So I think those are going to be key factors that will contribute to understanding of what's actually happening.
I see that Israel is currently debating a third Pfizer shot, but they have found, and a report that I read in their press this morning was that even after 6 months, there are strong antibodies. The antibodies haven't waned from the second shot of Pfizer, but they are still, it would seem, on the fence as to whether a third shot would be required.
Absolutely, and I think that that's the so-called ongoing monitoring. As you know, even those who've received were part of the initial vaccine trial, you know, it's really important to monitor to see whether or not, what is the durability of that vaccine response, and what is the nature of that vaccine response. You know, it's good and well to show that the antibodies are present, but are they, for example, neutralizing antibodies? And in addition, as you know, the immune system is divided into different arms, if you like. And I know we're focusing a great deal on antibody responses.
Yes, yes.
But they also so-called T-cell responses as well. That certainly that contribute. But even though you may have what is called waning immunity, the presence of T-cells may well be equally effective in terms of protecting you against infection.
A while back, a couple of months ago, I spoke to somebody in San Francisco whose company was involved with research with regard to vaccines around T-cells. Is that, but we haven't really gone that route, am I right?
Yeah, that's correct. I think in the main, people do focus on neutralizing antibodies. I think even with HIV now.
Yes, well, in fact, they started, they started off as an HIV research unit, and that's why they were quite far ahead of the game in terms of T-cell research. But then we're looking to see what they could apply to COVID. And I haven't heard any updates from them for a while, and I just wondered if we've seen any developments. I'm not saying necessarily with regard to them, but in this area.
Yes, so I think there are some, there's probably some progress along that, and perhaps if you were able to consider to invite me, perhaps we could go over that if there's some new literature. But I think the main focus, and in fact HIV as well, it's very interesting that there's a great deal of focus on neutralizing antibodies. And I think that's the key focus in terms of the current attempts to protect against against infection. In fact, vaccine design as well will probably look at, as you know, the current designs are really looking at spike. But the recently approved Sinopharm vaccine is a whole virus that has been inactivated, and so that again is thought to give rise to a whole range of potential protective antibodies.
So I wanted to talk to you about that and your thoughts on it. I spoke with Sopra yesterday, and obviously this is their mandate more than it falls into your area. But your thoughts on the data that you've seen around Sinopharm?
So I think there's fairly limited data. I think there's only one major trial. I think they're from Brazil, and that was in healthcare workers. And I think there's some trials, I think, from Turkey, and I think one other country. And again, the design are very different. The numbers are not as large as, for example, Pfizer and the other trials. I think the other limitation was that they had a particular age groups up to the age of 59. So when you look at the WHO recommendations, there are some what they call evidence gaps. And so those are going to really be important to fill right. as we introduce
right. because the we because we haven't
the vaccine.
They haven't given the final approval, have they? They're still waiting for further information.
Yeah, I think they're looking for additional evidence, but I think that it may well be rolled out, but waiting for additional evidence.
Right. Yes. We unfortunately only have a minute, but one of our listeners, Janine, asking, is South Africa using gamma globulin in the treatment of COVID?
I'm not as far as I'm aware that in terms of monoclonal antibodies being utilized, but there's good evidence in some settings that some of the monoclonal antibodies are effective. I suspect that cost may well be
a factor.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there was a phase specifically around the variants, where those monoclonal antibodies were not that effective. Right. But I think there's some recent evidence to show that there is good evidence. But I think cost may be a factor around
right,
that.
Right. But just to summarize everything, we're talking about 45% milk chocolate with cocoa nibs. Is that correct?
With nibs, absolutely.
Yeah,
the best.
I think that's definitely the way to go. Professor Adrian Curran, thank you as always for chatting to us.